Okay, let's begin this year's Haggadah Shir, Tavshin Pei Beis. Again, I will, B'ez Hashem, try to keep to the sources in front of us, though there might be one or two that just pop out that I won't be able to hold myself back from saying. But B'ez Hashem, it'll be, we'll go through the Haggadah as we, Baruch Hashem, have these schus of always doing, a paragraph per, a thought per each paragraph, and just... Just make sure everybody has a seat as they come in. And Rabbi Hashem, there are 17, 18 years worth of other shiurim, Haggadah shiurim in the past. I think we're repeating one thought, but that would be noted that repeating from a number of years ago. And but let's start. And we start off with the beginning of the Seder, and we start off with the Simanim of the Seder, with the new Haggadah that just came out recently from Rav Meir Goldwicht Shlita. In source number one, from the Simanei HaSeder, says Rav Goldwicht, Simani HaSeder, Heim HaShlavim Shalal HaSeder. As we know, the Simanim are the titles that we announce and that we sing. Many have the minhag of singing them at the beginning of the Seder. There are different numbers given in the Rishonim, but one popular number is 15. The 15 Dvarim in the Simanim. What is the purpose of the Simanim? That we've discussed in the past. Some say maybe it's a type of itinerary. It's how we always get the most out of a trip when we know the itinerary at the beginning of the trip. Other ideas, some say, Chassidus Shavar to Simanim. You have to find your Simanim in order to be able to, identify the Simanim. We look for our own Simanim. But this year, says Rav Goldwicht, let's focus on 15. Let's focus on 15. 15, of course, is Shem Hashem, Yud and Hey. Shem zeh ma'afsher lanu latzeis me'avdus u'mimitzrayim l'cheirus, u'mimitzarim l'cheirus. These 15 simanim, this is the process of avdus l'cheirus. This is the process of going from gnus and going to shvach. How do we do this? What's 15? What's the yud and what's the hey? Explains Rav Goldwicht. Yud and the hey, they are merames. They hint to something very deep. Maybe a few more chairs in the front. Yud is always alluding to Lashon Asid, the future. Yud always makes a word into the future. Yochal, Yaseh. Yud symbolizes future. Yud is Olam Haba. Ki Bekah Hashem Tzur Olamim, Chazal tell us, Ki Bekah Hashem, Ka means Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Yud is Olam Haba. Hey is present, it's Olam Hazeh. Yud and Hey, the way that we get the most out of tonight, out of this Leil HaSeder, is recognizing to putting the present along with the future. To recognize the potential that we have and to be able to create a new present based on the future that we know we can create. Yemei HaPesach ma'afshirim lanu l'romim es achibur ben hayom l'machar. We uplift the connection between today and tomorrow. Bein ha'hovel la'asid. Chibur zeh motzi osanu mikol meitzar. And as many of the Bali Musar point out, it's not Mitzrayim only, but it's Meitzarim. It's our borders. It's our limits. And it's in the Bria. It's in the Teva, the nature of the essence of these days, that we have the ability to break out of our limits. To break out of our what we think are our limits. We could go beyond. We could have a yitzi of our Meitzarim through focusing on what could be in the future. What could be in the future. And that's the Yud and the Hey, and these are the 15 Simanim that we have at the beginning of the Seder. Okay, so the first of the Simanim is Kaddish. Kiddush, so we have a special lengthy Kiddush this year, Friday night. We have Yom HaShishi also, it's also Shabbos. We have a couple of extra words. But we say in every Kiddush, so we know, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. Right, Hashem chose us out of all the nations. He chose us. Asher Bachar Mikol Ha'amim. So Rav Zilberstein writes in Chashuki Chemed, Haggadah, every time you go to the Sfarim store, you see another set of Sfarim that he has come out with. It's unbelievable every time you go. But here, the Chashuki Chemed Haggadah, he quotes from the Kleisenberger Rebbe, B'yoso B'itzumam Shal Yimei HaShoah Noraim, the amazing stories of the Kleisenberger who lost... lost 11 children and his wife, and he restarted the dynasty during the Shoah. Amar Lasovim Oso, there was a Shaila. They asked him, "Could we say Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim in the situation that we're in? Asher Bachar Banu, the chosen nation, Look at us. You call this chosen. You call this amazing. You call this special. Shebachar banu mikol ha'amim. So the Kleisenberg Rebbe says, I look around and I see what other nations could do, and I say, yes, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. We recognize the power of a Jew. We recognize the caring and the tikkun olam values that every Jew has. Kshani ro'eh ma hagoyim misugalim lasos, what many nations have done to the Jewish people, and that the Jewish nation, Jewish people have never done to other nations. Right, in the way the pogroms and the crusades and the holocausts. So I see Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. And he quotes a story that happened. He quotes Rav Chaim Tzvi Salomon at the end of the Second World War. B'shiyom HaShechur Ba'achron Shal Pesach, on the last day of Pesach, Tavshin Hei, 1945, Nichlesu Kitzinim Americanim, the American soldiers went in, Russian and British. L'machlin Bo'ayiti, he says, where I was, they came in, V'odiyo, and they told us that we're free. We didn't know what to do with ourselves. We just needed some food. We were starving. Katsin Rusi Echad, one Russian captain, took me to one of the houses that was the bakery of the camp. V'amar Lili Kanis Velidrosh, and he says, ask the baker, get you some bread. Nechnasti ala mafia aval hamanalim tanu, they said, I'm sorry, there's nothing left. When the Russian heard this, he went inside, he started searching, and he found plenty left. And they lied, and even though there was the shichrur, you know, they still lied. He gave his gun to Chaim Tzvi and said, you could do what you want with this menahel of the mafia. Menachem, and this Rav, was the name of Chaim Tzvi, said, I didn't use a gun till now, I'm not going to use a gun now. What will happen right now? We're free, and that's the focus of what we do. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. It's not a revenge thing. We mentioned in the past, right? The point of every war in Yadus is not the war, but it's the after war, right? Why do we celebrate Purim on Yud Dalid? Because the war was won on the 13th, right? That's why we fast, because they fasted during the war. We celebrate the 14th because that's when we have rest and shalva and we can go back to serving Hashem. And in Shushan it was a day later. Because we don't celebrate the war, we celebrate the after war. And that's Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. We recognize the values that we have and the zchus that we have to have 613 mitzvos and to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and each other through this very special night. So Kadesh Urachatz, then we wash for Karpas. We wash for Karpas. So Rabbi Sachs, in his Agadah, says that we start and ends the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim with a dipping. We start and end with a dipping. Right? We start off karpas. We dip the vegetable into salt water. And by the end of the process, we're dipping the maror into the charosas. Towards the end of the process. So Rabbi Sachs says there's a symbolic significance in these two acts. There's a significance. What do? Karpas, we take something somewhat sweet, whatever one uses, and you dip it into something bitter. And at the end, we take something bitter, and we dip it into something sweet. The charosas. Again, we're not going to read so much inside, just to make sure we get through it, Be'ezus Hashem, but again, feel free to take this to your Seder, and it's all here. The Exodus began and ended with acts of dipping. It began, and he says, even historically, right, the process started, Yosef's coat getting dipped in to the blood. When did the Geula end? The last stage of Geula? We dip into blood and put it on our doorpost by Karban Pesach. So every Seder starts and ends with a dipping. Yetzias Mitzrayim. Or the story of Shibud and Yetzias Mitzrayim started and ended with a dipping. What does this remind us of? So one thing I'll just add is that nothing in life is purely sweet or purely bitter. Everything is bitter sweet. Nobody has a perfect life and nobody has a totally imperfect life. But that's what Yahadus is about. Judaism is about, you know, mixing in the the sweet and the bitter and the sweet. Rabbi Sachs says more specifically, these two acts remind us that freedom, which is sweet, becomes sour when we use it to mistreat others. You could put the other ones maybe in the back so when people walk in. Thanks. Freedom, which is sweet, if we use freedom in an inappropriate way. How many stories in history have there been of a nation that went free and then they abused and subjugated another nation? So freedom can be sweet, but if we don't use it properly, it can be something bitter. And the opposite, slavery is bitter, but is sweetened when collective suffering becomes human solidarity and thus a prelude to freedom. So sweet could become bitter, bitter could become sweet, the dippings at the beginning and at the end. Okay, moving right along, we start Magid. We start Magid, Halach Ma'anya. This is either the prelude to Magid or actual Magid. But if you have in Rabbi Ari Marcus's Haggadah from The Spirit of Destiny, you have on source number four, page number three, what's the purpose of this paragraph? Halach Ma'anya. Okay, we talk about Halach. The first line, you know, fits in. That's pretty obvious. This is the poor man's bread, Halach Ma'anya, Di'achala of Asana, Ba'ara de Mitzrayim. But then we do two things that are somewhat, on the surface, strange. We invite guests. Right? Every Haggadah asks, why are we inviting guests? And it's like a fake, because we didn't do it in shul. And it's a fake, because by a real Korban Pesach, you have to be appointed and part of the group before Shnitas HaPesach. So it's too late anyway. Nobody's allowed to come. So what are we doing? It's obviously symbolic of something. So we mentioned in the past, Rav Soloveitchik says, maybe it's a reflection of freedom because the butler doesn't choose who the guests are. Right? The Baal HaBos decides who the guests are. So maybe it's just a reflection of freedom. Okay, one idea. So, but what do we invite a guest? And then what do we do? Hashata hachol, Hashana ba barad Yisrael. Hashata avi, Hashana ba b'nei chorin. What are we doing? We're going to say at the end of the Seder, Hashana ba b'Yerushalayim. We're going to say that. So what are we doing at the beginning of the Seder? We spoke a little bit on Shabbos. Why do we focus on Eretz Yisrael and not Yerushalayim? But why are we talking about that? We're just starting. Mascha b'gnus. So Rabbi Marcus suggests that maybe this paragraph is a summary of the entire night. It's a title of what we're doing. We talk about our past, and we talk about our future, connected to what we said before. Halach Ma'anya, that's where we're going. We're taking a journey tonight. Halach Ma'anya, our past, where we came from. Lashana Haba, where we're going to. How do we get there? Caring about each other. Inviting guests. Focusing on our brethren. That's how we get from our past to our future. That's what Chazal say. Right? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And the way that we're going to get it back is Ahava. I think I mentioned, I saw last year in an article, not Ahavas Chinam. What's Ahavas Chinam? That's what people say, Ahavas Chinam. What's Ahavas Chinam? Love for no reason. I can't figure anything out about that person that's good or to respect. I love him for no good reason. I have no reason to love him. That's terrible. That's terrible. Figure something out. Avas Yisrael. Sinas chinam could be chinam. Ava shouldn't be chinam. Avas chinam. Invite people. That's the way we're going to get from our past to our future. And that's how we start off Halach Ma'anya, by doing that. Focusing on our past, dreaming about our future, and knowing that the way we're going to get there is in the middle. I think I mentioned once, I saw in a sefer, you know, why is it the right is always very chashuv, more chashuv than left. The right side, going to the right. There are halachas about righties and lefties. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has 88 halachas / menhagim about righty-lefty issues. But like, right is more chashuv. So why is our heart on our left side? Why is the heart on the left? Hashem could have made the heart on the right side of our body. So why is the heart on our left side? It's on the right side of the person you're looking at. So it's on the right side, in both senses of the word. The right side, and that's the right side. So that's Halach Ma'anya, and we continue. Manishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol Halaylos. Why is this night different? Remember the Rambam, it's a statement, Manishtana. Okay, one thing I'll add in. I said I'll hope, I just, this is one of my favorite. I remember we mentioned it a number of years ago in the Berachayim, the Berachayim, or Bitterman's Haggadah. Right, the Rambam's Lashon is, right, V'kana ben Shoel, and here the son asks, V'omer hakore manishtana halayla zemikol halaylos. So it's clearly for the Rambam, manishtana is a statement. V'kana ben Shoel, the son asks whatever he wants. And then V'omer hakore manishtana. But V'kana ben Shoel. So the Bali Musar say, V'kana ben Shoel, at this moment in the Seder, there's a special skula. There's a special magic in the moment as we're about to start Yetzias Mitzrayim discussion to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything. V'kan HaBen Shoel. It's about our Seder. We stop. Everybody focus for 30 seconds. Think about something. V'kan HaBen Shoel. Avinu Malkeinu. So, V'kan HaBen Shoel, but according to the Pashup Shat, we have the Manishtana, we have the four questions. And the question that's asked by the Rebbe Me'Alexander, this is on page number 4, this is from the Haggadah Shel Achdus, that's the thoughts from the Rav and Rav Kook and Rav Shlomo Kalbach. So he quotes on the bottom here, the Rebbe Me'Alexander, why does Manishtana, the second or third paragraph of the Haggadah? Shouldn't we start off with questions? Start with the questions and then give the answers. We already gave some answers. Halach Ma'anya, first say Manishtana. That should be the beginning. But we don't do that. It's the second paragraph. So it explains the Rebbe Me'Alexander, Hadavar harishon sheyehudi oseh lo lishol. The first thing we do is not to ask. The first thing we do is to do. You have akashas? First do it, and then we'll talk. Kodem kol tzarach lios mechur b'lamashu ma megiose m'sheila shelos. First connect. First do the mitzvah. And then we'll talk. Remember Avram Avinu? When did he ask? After the Akedah. Yisrael Salanter. First we say, Ein Kelokeinu. And then we say, Mi Kelokeinu. Mi Kelokeinu should be first. No. First is a base belief. Ein Kelokeinu. There's a base connection that we cannot doubt. And we cannot make shaky. Ein Kelokeinu. And then we have Mi Kelokeinu. That's why we have Halach Ma'anya. This is the basis. And according to what we just said, it's beautiful. We summarize the entire night, and then we start delving into it. Manishtana halayla zeh, mikol halaylos. And then we start the answer. Avadim ayinu, leparo b'mitzrayim. We were avadim, machlokes, remember Rav and Shmuel, we paskin like both, in terms of, where do we start from? Maskel b'gnus, u'misayim b'shvach. You know, how do we do that? Do we focus on the physical, avadam hayinu leparav b'mitzrayim, or do we focus on the spiritual, mitchilo avdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu? So we do both. So the first we do is right. That's the in Rav Rimon's Haggadah. The entire structure he comes up with is this two pronged, avadam hayinu and mitchilo avdei avodah zarah. He goes through the entire magid from avadam hayinu all the way through dayenu. Structured based on this two-pronged Rav and Shmuel misgeret. But at the end of Avadim Ayinu, we have, as we know, the Ilu Lahotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hashem wouldn't have taken us out of Mitzrayim, Hare Anu, V'neinu, V'nevaninu, Mishubadim Ayinu Lepar, we would still be there. We would still be Mishubad Lepar by Mitzrayim. And again, the question that's asked in many Haggadahs, really, we'd still be there? There wouldn't have been a governmental change. There wouldn't have been an uprising over thousands of years. Every empire, waxes and wanes, ups and downs. Right? So what does that mean? We'd still be Meshubit to Paro. So Rav Aviner, in his Haggadah, in source number 6, says an idea that's found in other Haggadahs as well. Ella, Shalom Medubar Rakal Shilta Medini. We're not talking about physical authority. We wouldn't still be. We wouldn't be in Mitzrayim. Maybe we would have left. Elagam al shulton ruchani. The culture of Egypt, the values of Egypt, that would still be in us. Kol Yisod Yetzias Mitzrayim Mu'afas Emuna B'Hashem. The entire story, like the Ramban talks about in Parshas Bo, the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is about teaching the world Hashkachas Hashem. It's about teaching every human being the power of the Almighty. V'nika l'paro, in contrast to Paro, who said, Lo yadati es Hashem, eini chafes l'lechas b'drachav alasas mitzono, I'm not interested. I want to continue. No. Mitzrayim brought Hashem into the world on a national, global level. Not just one person spreading. Right? Amram Avinu started spreading. Avram, Yitzchak, everybody went. But Hashem hasn't introduced himself to the world yet. Yetzias Mitzrayim was his introduction. Yetzias Mitzrayim was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to the world, Ani Hashem Elokecha. And that belief, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Without Yetzias Mitzrayim, we would be stuck to the same value system of Mitzrayim. Similar, a little deeper. I think we quoted this on Shabbos 2 weeks ago. The Rav Aviner continues and says, Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us that we could break out of our teva. We could break out of our natural borders. The limits that we think we're limited to. You know, sometimes there's an extreme situation. It doesn't have to be so extreme. Right? Between Sunday and Monday, I flew to Poland, so the flight was 5 a.m. So you had to be at the airport at like 1. It's like, that's your night. So you get to the airport, 1 o'clock, you get through, and then you're like, it's like 2:30, and you still have 2 hours. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning. So what I do is I sat and learned for 2 hours. I'm like, well, I can learn at 2 to 4 in the morning. This is amazing. It's like I would never be able to do this at home. But all of a sudden, you see, you know, you're going to crash afterwards. That's true. But when there's a situation of Ein Breira, when there's a situation, then we could break out of our teva. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us. There's no such thing as teva in the world or in our own lives. Because we all know those situations that came up that we needed to act in a certain way and we went above and beyond because that's what needed to be done. Bitul ha-teva. And then he has another fascinating point. But one might say, well, that was great and beautiful, but aren't we back in Golus? Are we back? We went to Eretz Yisrael, we built a Beis HaMikdash, but now we're back where we started. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Nevi'im. So what are we celebrating tonight? So he gives a mashal. Mashal ish aniv evyon, a very poor, destitute man, barva ama aretz, and he was also an ama aretz, he really wasn't so learned. Sha'ala pitom l'gdula, all of a sudden he won the lottery, he became very rich. And all of a sudden, when he became rich, he was not only had more money, but he was all of a sudden about to, you know, rub elbows with, you know, with a different strata of society. So he had to learn the culture, and he had to learn all these new things, and he had to learn how to be a cultured and educated person. And maybe he didn't even know how to read and write. They became literate. Amazing. It was a totally new life. A couple years later, and every year he made a party on the day that he won the lottery. Makes a lot of sense. Then he lost it all again. And he became destitute, impoverished. But he still made the party every year. Hey, what do you make the party for? You're back where you started. I'm back where I started. Maybe I lost my money, but the education and the values and everything I learned, that's still with me. I lost my money, but that's a small thing. What we got at Yetzias Mitzrayim, the values and the emunah and the hashkacha and the connection. Okay, we went into Golus, but there's so much that's still part of us. There's so much that we still have. And by the way, you're allowed to say some of these thoughts by the day meal also. It doesn't become nifsal, it's not nosar. And those in Chutz Laaretz at the second Seder as well. Okay. So that's Avadam Ayinu. So we continue. Maisa, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, we get to the story of the five great rabbis in Bnei Brak. They all went to Bnei Brak, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Tarfon. Many questions are asked on this paragraph. What were they doing all in Bnei Brak? Right, an answer that we like to mention. They went to Bnei Brak because that was the town of Rabbi Akiva. And imagine, all these great rabbis lived 150 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Imagine what that Seder was like. Their grandfathers had Karban Pesach. They probably could walk and still smell the smoke and the ashes when they walked near Har HaBayis. You call this a Seder? We used to get together with everybody in Yerushalayim. They went to Rabbi Akiva because throughout Shas, Rabbi Akiva is the ultimate optimist. The ultimate one who gave Chizik. And the end of Makkos, he laughed when everybody else cried. Right, he's getting killed. He says, "I've been waiting for this moment all my life." Right, nobody gave him a home. The end of Mesechus Brachas, he had to stay outside. Nobody invited him in, and his chicken got lost, and his horse, and his candle blew out. Gamzu lit called David Rachman Latav Avid, the student of Nachamish Gamzu. This is Rabbi Akiva. They went there because they knew he would give him chizik. So they all went. Okay, but another question that's asked by many is that we know there's a major machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. When do you have to finish the Karban Pesach by? Which translates into our day, when do you have to eat the Afikomen by? Right? So Machlokas, Rabbi ben Azariah until Chatzos. Rabbi Akiva until the morning. So we're Machmer L'Chadchila for Rabbi ben Azariah to finish it by Chatzos. So the question is asked, he was one of these five rabbis though. And L'Chora, Sibri Yitzhias Mitzrayim, is connected to the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and matzah. So why was he talking about it all night? He finished by Chatzos. He should have gone to sleep. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is the one who holds until Chatzos. So out of the five rabbis, why was he the one that he stayed up all night? So in the Haggadah v'Higadata, Rabbi Galinsky, one of the Magidim, he quotes a story. He says, one time he was driven many years ago to give a drasha, to give a shir to some small village in Moshava outside of Rechovot. And Asano Be'merchal Yasadas, they took me through the fields, and he was riding, Kazu Shalva, Kazu Roga, they took him on this in the car, and all of a sudden, as he got the field, there were some horses in the fields. As he was passing, Nivhalu Mirasha Machonit, the horses were so scared of the car, they jumped up and they went up on their hind legs. They went up on their hind legs, they're like, what's going on? They were all scared. Echad is Dakev Al Shtei Raglav, and he was like, falling backwards. And I thought to myself, wow, he's standing like a person. And then as the car went and it continued, I turned back behind me and I see the horse is back on all fours. And I thought to myself, only one of the Bali Musar could think this way. I thought to myself, wow, a horse could be shocked and inspired for a moment. And he could like go up on his hind legs. But 10 seconds later, he's back to being a horse. Back to being a horse. Didn't make much of an impression. How long do things last on us? How long do we let them affect us? Sibri Yitzhias Mitzrayim is done. Okay, guys, going to sleep. Good night. No, he stayed up. Because he couldn't go to sleep. He was like so on fire. That's what we learned from Elazar ben Azariah. He stayed on his hind legs for a couple of hours. We have to take experiences with us and make them part of who we are. Shabbos, Yontif, that's the idea of Malava Malka, that's the idea of Isru Chag. In Judaism, there's never the thing. There's always like the pre and the post, there's Tosefes. You know, we had on some time before, we had on some time afterwards. We can't just have Rosh Hashanah, we have to have Elul. Right, we can't just have Tisha B'Av, we have 3 weeks. Right? There's never just that. But that's the way to get the most out of experiences. Okay. Amar Elazar ben Azariah. The next paragraph, we have the Mishnah, Maseches Brachos, source number 9. And we have the Machlokas. Whether Zechiras Yitzhias Mitzrayim, right? Remember, this paragraph switches from the unique mitzvah tonight of Sipri Yitzhias Mitzrayim, and we talk for a moment about the general mitzvah every day and night of our life of Zechiras Yitzhias Mitzrayim, remembering Mitzrayim. And many differences, they quote from Reb Chaim, about the differences between Zechiras Yitzhias Mitzrayim and Sipri Yitzhias Mitzrayim. But in this paragraph, in this Mishnah, we have the Machlokes, whether Yitzhias Mitzrayim, Zechiras Yitzhias Mitzrayim, is only Bayom or even Balayla. Yemei Chayecha Hayamim, Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos. So one of the machlokos is whether it applies only by day or even by night. So here the Gedolei Yerushalayim, they quote this from the Ma'ari al-Ghazi, quotes, what's the nekudas of machlokos here? One halachic thought. Right? What's the nekudas of machlokos here? Between Benzoma and Reb Elazar ben Azariah, he suggests, well, what happened? Paro said at night, leave. Go free. We don't want you. But they didn't go yet. They were allowed to. But they didn't go yet. So were they free? If I have a pen in my house and I'm mafkir it, but it's sitting on my desk, is that hefker? I don't pick it up. I don't do a kinyan. I just think, just leave. So they didn't actually go out until the morning. So suggests here that Ma'ari al-Ghazi, maybe that's the nekuda. Do you go by the actual kinyan, the actual shichrur? Right, they actually went out in the morning. B'yom seischa. But at night there was already the allowance. There was already the potential. They already had the heter, they could have gone out. Sometimes in life, it's not just about the actuality, it's the potential that plays a role. We could talk about that a lot, but we'll see at the end. We're on a tight schedule. Okay, we continue. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shanas Antar Olam HaYisrael. We could have a whole shiur about this paragraph. But Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. One thought on those four words. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. What is this paragraph doing? Right, it sounds like a Birchas HaTorah. Rav Soloveitchik says, whenever we have a new type of Birchas HaTorah, a new type of learning Torah, we have to have a new bracha, Birchas HaTorah. When we get an aliyah, we make another Birchas HaTorah, even though we said one in the morning. Because this is Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. There's a minhag of Rashi quoted, I think in the Machzor Vitri, that Rashi said a new Birchas HaTorah when he went to give shir in the yeshiva. He learned that when he get to give shir, he said a new Birchas HaTorah. Sibritis Mitzrayim is a new type of learning Torah. So we have a Birchas HaTorah. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas Ador Lama Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Sounds like a Birchas HaTorah. Okay. But one thought on the first four words. In the Kerem HaTzvi, I got the Kerem HaTzvi, he quotes that every bracha that we say, he quotes this from the Rashba, every bracha that we say switches the language. Baruch Ato Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. You. We're talking to Hashem. Then all of a sudden, Elokeinu Melech Olam, right? Our God, King of the Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav. He sanctified us with His mitzvos. Well, something just switched. Asher Kiddashta B'mitzvosecha. No, it doesn't say that. We switch from second person to third person. Every bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, every bracha is a mitzvah. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, we're talking to Hashem, and then all of a sudden we're talking about Hashem. Why the flip? Why the switch? So the Rashba writes in the Tshuva, we should never, so to speak, become too comfortable and think we're actually, we've zeroed in on God. And we're talking to Him and it's a conversation. Start talking and then you'll realize. Start second person, you'll realize third person. There's some nigla, but it's mostly nistar. Baruch Ata Hashem, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch HaMakom, we're talking to Hashem, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Blessed is He. Or just to teach us that message. There's so much nigle about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we feel so close to Him, but we realize there's a major gap between finitude and infinity. And we have to recognize that. That's the Baal Amar we often quote. Lo yadati she yadati, ad she yadati she lo yadati. I didn't realize that I know something until I realized that I don't know something. So when we recognize the vastness between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when we start realizing that something about our relationship. So that's Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. And then we talk about Baruch Shanas and Torah La'amo Yisrael. Torah also, says the Kerem HaTzvi. Torah also, there's so much in Torah that we know, that we could study, that we could absorb and swallow. But there's so much in Torah that's beyond. There's so much in Torah that's beyond. Right? They tell a story The Arizal once took a nap on Shabbos, maybe every Shabbos. He was taking a nap on Shabbos afternoon, one Shabbos, and his Talmud, Reb Chaim Vital, was standing next to him while he was sleeping, and the Arizal's lips were moving during his whole sleep. Moving during the whole sleep. And after he wakes up, Reb Chaim Vital says, "What was going on in your sleep?" He says, "Well, the Malachim were teaching me Pshat of the Pasuk." Some Pasuk in Parshas Dvarim. Not one of the more, let's say, exciting psukim. Like a pasuk, Stam, like they traveled. I forgot the exact pasuk. I don't have a chumash here, I can find it. But a pasuk. So he says, "Oh, can you tell me?" Reb Chaim Vital says, "Can you tell me what they told you?" So Rabbi Arizal says something like, "If I had 500 lifetimes and didn't stop talking during each of those lifetimes, I wouldn't be able to tell you what they told me about the pshat of that pasuk." There's a lot in Torah that's niglat that we could get, but there's so much nista. It's God's autobiography. So, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, we recognize Hashem, we're so close, but we're so far. And so too in Torah, we're so close to Torah, but we recognize how much more Torah there is beyond our own understanding, and we've just scratched the surface. Okay, moving right along, we have the Dalet Banim. The Dalet Banim, the four sons. This is the one thought that I'm repeating. I mentioned it many years ago. From the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi, it's a big piece. We'll just say the salient points outside. From Parshas Bo. Where the Beis HaLevi discusses what's the conversation between the Rasha and the father. The Rasha and the father. The Rasha says, Ma ha'avoda azos lachem. What is this avoda that you're doing? And then we answer, Hakeh Shinov. What's going on there? What's going on? So the Beis HaLevi said, what is Bavur Zeh? So explains the Beis HaLevi. Source number 11. The Rosh is at the table. Baruch Hashem. The Rosh is at the table. But what's he bothered by? Ma avoda. What is this avoda that you're doing? What does he mean? I understand this service of God and mitzvos. If they make sense to me. But this avoda of Korban Pesach, what's Korban Pesach? We're killing the gods of the Egyptians? I haven't seen anybody worshiping a sheep in a long time, Dad. What are you doing? It's just so antiquated and outdated. What are you doing this sacrificing? Hey, maybe they did it. Our ancestors did it in Mitzrayim. Maybe then it made sense. But what are we doing? Ma'avon ezos lachem. What is it for you? For them, I understand. But the reason for the mitzvah should tell me that the reason doesn't apply anymore. Ma'avodah zos lachem. And there are many Jews out there, Rachman al-Islan, in every generation, that have the attitude, if it doesn't make sense to me, then why should I do it? What is this? What is this? What kind of mitzvah is this? The reason doesn't make sense. It doesn't apply anymore. What do we answer? Ba'avur zeh. Asa Hashem li b'teis min Yisrael. What's ba'avur zeh? In the Rishonim, this question, what does that pasuk mean? Explains the Beis HaLevi. We all learn in elementary school that the Malachim come to Avram Avinu and he says to Sarah, Lushi Vasi Ugos, what are Ugos? It's Matzah, because it's Pesach. It was Pesach. Really? It was Pesach already? The whole story didn't happen yet. What do you mean it was Pesach? They were having Matzah. Avram and Sarah ate Matzah on Pesach? What does that mean? Says the Beis HaLevi, yes. We think that we eat matzah because there was a story of Mitzvah Mitzrayim. Says the Beis HaLevi is exactly the opposite. Because there's a mitzvah of matzah, that's why there's a story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. History happened because of the mitzvos. The mitzvos didn't happen because. The mitzvos were, as we know, the Torah was one of the seven things created before the world was created. So the mitzvahs are eternal. We usually think eternal forward. Eternal all the way through Mashiach. The Beis HaLevi is adding, the mitzvahs are eternal backwards. We don't know what that means. How far back do you go? We don't know. Before time was created, we don't have words to understand or to capture what does it mean to go backwards in time before time existed. But either way, mitzvahs are eternal. Says the Beis HaLevi, Bavur Zeh, pointing at the matzah. Because of this, Asa Hashem li b'teis in Mitzrayim. You think, it doesn't make sense to do Karan Pesach because, it doesn't apply to me. The mitzvah is the mitzvah, son. The mitzvah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah is the mitzvah. You want to think about a reason for the mitzvah? Tam. Tam makes it tasty also, right? Reasons make it tasty. Same word. That's fine, but even without the tam, the mitzvah is the mitzvah. There are rules. In every game, there are rules. Does everyone make sense? No, these are the rules of the game. These are the rules of the game. These are the rules of the game called Avodas Hashem. And that's what we tell the Rasha. We do Avodas Hashem, we serve Hashem, not dafka, because it makes sense and we understand. And then a thought maybe on the Tam and the Eini Yodea Lashol and the Rasha. Turning the page to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, source 13. Is a classic Lubavitcher Rebbe thought. The order. If you were writing the order of the sons, what would the order be? Maybe you'd put Chacham, and then Tam, and then Eini Yodea Lashol, and then Rasha. What do you put the Rasha second? What, it's just the contrasts? But Tam and Eini Yodea Lashol aren't really contrasted. So why does Rasha get second place? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know what the greatest enemy of the Jewish people is today? It's not Russia. It's Eini Yodea Lashol and Tam. At least the Russia is emotional and has feeling about something. At least he's strong and he's a fighter. He might be totally wrong, but apathy is the worst. Just not caring. Just sitting back and just totally uninspired. That is the greatest, that's the greatest challenge to any teacher these days. You know, if there's a teacher, there's a high school Rebbe out there that has a kid that always likes to fight with him. Okay, it makes it challenging, but you know what? He's looking for answers. The boy in the back of the room who's just sleeping because he's not interested, apathetic, that's a worse danger. The Russia has so much potential. Everybody has potential, but the Russia shows so much potential. Right. The wicked son may be a terror, challenging everything we do, but at least he takes an interest in the evening's activities. Judaism angers him, but at least that shows that there's somebody home. When the wicked son finally comes around to our way of thinking, he'll be a passionate Jew and an asset to his people. By placing the clueless son last, now God warns us that apathy is the greatest danger of all. You got to have feeling. You got to be on fire for something. Sometimes it's for the wrong things. But on fire for something shows there's a lot of potential. Okay, Yachol, may Rosh Chodesh. I might think that the mitzvah Sibitzis Mitzrayim should start on Rosh Chodesh. Tam Alomar by Yom Ahu. No, only on that day. You might think on Erev Pesach. No, only Balayla B'Shar Sheish Matzu Maror Munachim Lefanecha. So everyone asks, what's the Hava Mina? Why would I think that we could start doing the mitzvah of Sibitzis Mitzrayim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? We don't do that for Sukkot. We don't do that for any other holiday to try about do the mitzvahs before the day. So it says in the Haggadah Kol Aryeh, he quotes here, beginnings are crucial in Judaism. Beginnings are crucial, even in halachic terms. We have a principle in Maseches Beitza. If something is muksa when Shabbos starts, it's muksa for all of Shabbos. Even if the reason for its being muksa doesn't apply anymore. If you set your Erev when Shabbos starts, your Erev Tafshilin, every single Jew is going to make an Erev Tafshilin this year. Every single Jew. Right? Okay, even the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So, right, as long as it's there when Shabbos starts, you're good. Because beginnings are crucial. Beginnings of beginnings are even more crucial. Not only the first day of the month, for the first month of the year. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the beginning of the beginnings. The Medrash talks about all the crowns that occurred that day. Often, potential allows for actuality. So it's not that you would have thought that you could start up from Rosh Chodesh Nisan and go for the next 2 weeks. No, only Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Yochol Me Rosh Chodesh. Because Rosh Chodesh has the power to everything that follows. Rosh Chodesh has the power to everything that follows. The morning has the power to the rest of the day. That's why we have the longest davening in the morning. Okay. Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu. Rav Dessler, Source 15. It was in the Rav Dessler Agada, but then a little more elaborate was in the Mechtam Elio itself. So Rav Dessler notes, before we get into this specifically, Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah, Hayav Aseinu, where we talk about Avram Avinu, Rav Dessler just notes, we mentioned this before, we have to remember the holidays throughout the year. We have to view our holidays as if we are on a train. We're on a train, and the holidays are always there. We just make different stops. We stop off, we get to Pesach. Let me get back on the train, go a little further, we get off, we stop Shavuos. The essence of these days, like Nisan, is always about freedom. It has it in the essence of the time. And Shavuos and Sukkos, we pass through time, says Rav Dessler. Lo azman over ala adam nosea betoch azman. We come to the tachana of Gulas Mitzrayim. We come to the tachana of this, of that. So we get to this tachana called Pesach, and we remember the beginnings. Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu, and we know even Avram Avinu was no bit of Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says. Imagine, says Rav Dessler, for a moment when we say this paragraph, we should spend a moment appreciating Avram Avinu. Think about his inner fortitude, his conviction. The only one in the world, the only one in the entire world that had this crazy idea of monotheism. His own family gave him over to the king to be killed. Imagine what type of person he was. Not just how smart he was, and he figured it out, but he was ready to stand up for it. He was ready to stand up for what he knew was right. Netar latzmenu as amitzus daito shel Avram Avinu. Kam va'amar k'neged aviv u'beiso v'chol mishpachto neged kol olam kulo. It's unbelievable how strong, how much you have to believe in your convictions. I'll just add, and we have that in us. It's in our DNA. That's what we get from Avram Avinu. The Nefesh HaChaim says that in Pirkei Avos. Right, Avram Avinu put in his DNA of all his descendants the power to pass the Nisyonos that he passed. So we have to remember Avram Avinu. Baruch Shomer Abtachasa LeYisrael. Baruch Shomer Abtachasa Hashem kept his promise. Shechishev es haketz. He was Machashev the case. He figured out exactly when to take us out. The exact second. Says Rav Eli Sadan in his Agada, Source 16. Yeshkan Nakuda Mahutis Biyoser. Think about this. The exact moment, remember we spoke about this last Shabbos. The 49th level of Tumah, one more second. Imagine how everything for the past 210 years, Hashem knew that was the moment we would have to get out. It just happened to work out that every part of history and the Makkos and the everything throughout the whole process ended at this second. Hashem was machashev the case. Hashem was machashev every step of the way. From the moment that Yosef stepped onto that caravan until the moment that Paro's firstborn died. Hundreds of years, all thought out with precision that this is part of the divine plan. Chishev es haketz. He thought out every stage of Eretz Lo Lahem, Va'avadim, Ve'inu Osam, and Yitzchak's life, and Yaakov's life, and the Shvatim's lives. Votzesi, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Velakachti, every step of the way. Obviously not humanly planned. Because man plans and God laughs. But God plans and God fulfills. Baruch Shomer Haftachasa LeYisrael, Shachishev Esaketz. He figured out exactly. That's the Baruch Shomer Haftachasa LeYisrael. And says Rav Eli Sadan, and it's the same thing in this Galus as well. We shouldn't think for a moment that it's not all planned out. Again, there might be moments in time where if we would be Zoche, right, Chazal say, Chizkio could have been Mashiach, and there could have been different stages that it could have ended if we were Zoche. But Hashem has every single detail, Mechashev is a ketz of this Galus. Of this Galus. That's what he writes on the right side. Ha'olam eino hefker. Gam kisha ovrim anu yisurim gedolim. Gam kshagolos misareches. We know ki lo yitosh Hashem amo v'nachalos lo yazov. V'hu yoshiyena v'galeinu sheinis. It's coming. Kadosh Baruch Hu machashiv is a case. Baruch Shomer shachadosh Baruch Hu. Right, he keeps his promise. He will keep his promise. That's Baruch Shomer. V'hi sha'amda la'avoseinu v'lanu. 17. V'hi sha'amda. So we had one halachic thought. So one drush. Shelo echad bilvad. And who would you look in the drush? The Berachayim. Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu l'chaloseinu. Many times in life, we want to do something. We're inspired to do something, to start something, but we know it's not going to last. We know maybe we'll do it once. You know, I'm going to come on time to davening. I'm going to have kavana for benching. I'm going to, you know, not look at my phone until, you know, after, you know, blank, fill in the blank. I'm going to help out in the kitchen more. I'm going to, whatever it is, I might. So we think all these great ideas that we want to do, but we know it's not going to last. You know what? Sometimes we convince ourselves, you know, why should I even do it once? Why should I even do it if it's not going to last? Just forget it. This is who I am. Why should I even do it once? Shelo echad bilvad? Not once, bilvad? Omid alein alechaloseinu. That destroys the idea. We think, shelo echad, just, it's not only one, not just once. Shelo echad bilvad? Omid alein alechaloseinu. That's what he says at the Remes. Machshav azu shepamachas eino shave klum, hi adavar asher amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. Just do it. Just do it. Right, we could borrow that, be mekadish that phrase. Right, so said the Berachayim, shelo echad bilvad, amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. Tzei ulamad. And then go out and learn what Lavan wanted to do to Yaakov. What's Lavan? What does that have to do with us? Where did he want to be Mavakish Lakar Sakol? Says the Vilna Gaon, says the Gra. It's quoted here in the Lekach Tov Haggadah. Says the Gra, Yaakov goes down to Lavan. And what is Yaakov thinking when he's going to Lavan? He's running away from his brother who wants to kill him. This is the worst. This is the worst thing that's happening. I can't believe this. Am I going to see my parents again? Yitzchak Avinu, Rivka Imenu, imagine. Yaakov has to run away from that house of holiness. He lived with his father who was an Ola Tamima, and he has to go live with Lavan. He has to go live with a bunch of Arameans. You know, like, imagine what he's thinking. It's terrible. Guess what? He finds a wife and has 11 kids. You think it's the worst, but this is the building of your house. We went down to Mitzrayim. We thought it was the worst. It was terrible. Went down, Meshuvid. Guess what? It was the building of our house. It was the building of Klal Yisrael. We spoke on Shabbos about maybe why it was needed, but it's the building of our house. And that's what we learned from Lavan. Say Ulamai, go look at the Lavan Yaakov model, and then you'll see what, you know, the model of Am Yisrael. And then we have the psukim where we darshin from Mikra Bikurim. Two thoughts on the psukim, on the drushes. So source 19 from the Rav of Salvechik and the Harei Kedem. Vahi sham legoi, and he quotes from another girsa. Vahi sham legoi gadol. Malamei Shai Yisrael Mitzuyanim sham. We were a goi gadol. We were a mitzuyan there. We were designated there. We were designated. And Chazal Darshan, the four things that we were different in, we didn't change our lavush and our language. Where did Chazal see that in the words of the Pasuk? Vahi sham l'goy gadol. Where did Chazal see that in the word gadol? So says Rav Salvechik, I think this is one of the only, it is one of the only, that Rav Salvechik is quoted on the bottom of the Stone Chumash. So Salvechik is quoted in Brachos. One of the bottom, by the sun and the moon, the Mar HaGadol and the Mar HaKatan. Right? It was first both gadol and then more gadol katan. So why was one gadol, one katan, not just big and small, but gadol is independent. The sun gives off independent light. The moon just reflects the light of the sun. And that's why it's called katan. And that's what we say at a bris, zeh katan gadol yihyeh. This katan who's now dependent on his parents and his family, gadol, his bracha is to be independent. In halacha, gadol is independent and katan is dependent. There's more there, but he says the same thing here. Rav Salvechik, gadol means you're not mushpa from other people. You're not dependent on others. You do what's right because you know that's what's right. When Chazal see goy gadol, they know gadol doesn't just mean big. Gadol means mashpia and not mushpa. Sheina osek kamasi achirim, elaholich bedarke atzmo. Tanaga shal gadlus enu mushpas miderecha olam. That's a gadol. A gadol, and we know that. A gadol is somebody, you know, I don't act based on peer pressure. I'm mature enough to do what I know is right. Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate gadol. Right? He didn't care about what was going on around him. Mitzrayim, in Midian. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate gadol. So, good place to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, we've mentioned in the past why Moshe's name is not mentioned in the Haggadah. Because, I heard from Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zichrono Livracha, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the first one to ever fulfill the mitzvah of Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim, because his kids weren't there. So you think he spoke about himself when he told his kids? So forevermore, we model the first person who ever to fulfill the mitzvah, and that gives him the greatest kavod. He always tries to get out of it. Small aleph, you know how many varts there are in the small aleph, Vayikra? So he tried to he tries to hide, but we bring him out. Anyway, so Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest gadol. It continues, but we'll stop. Good. The next pasuk, Vanitzak El Hashem, source 21, turning over. By Emmanuel Bernstein's Haggadah, From Darkness to Destiny. Vanitzak El Hashem, Vayanchu Bnei Yisrael Min HaAvodah. It's fascinating. If you look in the psukim, the pasuk that's quoted says that Vayanchu, we groaned from the labor. We groaned. It was such hard work. It was such hard work, and Hashem heard our tefillos. So that's right, Bernstein. It doesn't say in the pasuk that we cried out to Hashem. It says that we cried out. We groaned. We groaned from the physical labor, and Hashem heard our tefillos. It says it by Bernstein. This reveals to us an extraordinary feature. The Jewish people had no conscious intention to pray as they were groaning. They were simply groaning min ha'avoda. But Hashem took those groans and made it into tefillah. You can say this in two ways. Maybe the way he says it is that once we groaned, that opened up our, like, that was like the key into Zchus Avos, and boom, we were saved. One also might say that subconsciously, whenever a Jew cries, he's crying out to Hashem. Whenever, I would add, a human being cries. Right? Somebody's home alone and they bang their shin. And they scream out in pain. Nobody's home. Why are they screaming? Who's going to hear them? Oh, it's instinct. It's natural. Oh yeah, who put that instinct into us? Who are we screaming out to? It's instinct. When we're in pain, we scream out to Hashem. They groaned. And they took it as a tefillah. Vanitzak el Hashem. And then we get to the Makos. We get to the Makos. Arov 22, Rav Pam's Haggadah. Rav Pam's Haggadah. So, after being afflicted at the end of Arov, and every Makos could be analyzed and described. Always go around the table. Which do you think was the worst Makos and why? Right? So, Arov. After Arov, Hashem Paro says, okay, you can bring your karbanos. Just do it in Mitzrayim. What does Moshe say? No. They're going to stone us. They're going to stone us if we bring this. This is their God. We can't bring this in Mitzrayim. If we were to slaughter the deity of Mitzrayim in front of their eyes, will they not stone us? One second. Was Moshe scared? Was Moshe admitting to Paro that Hashem could not protect Am Yisrael if they would bring the sacrifice, their gods? Right, how many makos have taken place already? Dam Sfardeya, Kinim Arov. Half the makos. Now, at Paro, I can't. It's dangerous. Dangerous. I can't. No, I... It's like a priest's covet to Hashem. What? You're saying Paro's like, oh, you're right, you know. You're right, you know. That's what he's going to say? So isn't that a priest's covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And also, the language is... Does he quote this also? Right? Why then will Moshe be afraid that Mitzrayim would stone them? Another perplexing aspect. Right? Wasn't there an element of Chil Hashem in Moshe's argument? Moshe was chashal minimizing Hashem's ability. Right? And then later on, here he quotes it towards the bottom. It says, Lo nachon. That's the language of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not appropriate. It's a strange phrase to use in this context. For it implies they had the ability, but it wasn't the proper thing. Says Rav Palm, they could have done it. Nobody was stoning them. Moshe wasn't worried, but you know what? Moshe didn't lose his sensitivity to another human being. An in-your-face attitude, which our generation and anybody who plays basketball probably has difficulty with. You know, in your face, you know, that's like awesome. Moshe didn't have in-your-face attitude. I could do this, but you know what? They've suffered enough. We'll go outside Mitzrayim. Even for the Mitzrayim. Lo nachon, it's not appropriate. It would not be moral and right for us to do something so demeaning to your people and their beliefs they would want to stone us. Although we know that with Hashem's help, you were not capable of anything. Right? When you first decided to subjugate us, you accused us of being a people of bad character. Right? Vanosef gamu al sonenu. I'll show you, Moshe says, what type of people we are. V'chulu, and then Rav Palm talks about, obviously, having the proper sensitivity to somebody who is more machmir than you, somebody who is more makil than you. Nobody in our generation was more careful and sensitive about other Jews than and other people than Rav Palm himself. Better to make a three-day trip into the desert rather than to offend others, even our oppressors. Arav. Okay, the other makas. So much to talk about regarding the makas. Sfardeya, remember the frogs. Choshech, remember the Bar Yosef, beginning of Parshas Bo, on Chamushim, 4/5 of the Jews died. That means 4/5 of the children didn't have any parents who took them. But after the Makas, we have a shortened Makas. Rabbi Yehuda Yenosim Em Simen. Tatzach Hadash Bachav. Tatzach Hadash Bachav. Right, what's the purpose of that? Why do we need a Rosh Yitevus? Just say, go to the Makas. Well, what's the message of Rabbi Yehuda? Hayanosim Bahem Simen. So, some Pshatim say, each of the Makas were a set. They're a set to teach us. Dam Sfardeya Kinim were a set. The next three were a set. In the Minchas Chein here in Rabbi Olbaum's Haggadah, he notes a thought that we mentioned earlier. Tatzach Hadash Bachav is teaching us, this is similar to what we just said, Bin Folo Yivcha Al Tismach. The Makas were awesome. But you don't have to focus all of your energies on the downfall of your enemies. To focus on the Galus of Hashem, yes. To focus on how every detail of the enemy that was punished, that's not what we're about. We're not out for revenge. We ask Hashem, right? Hashem yikom damo. Right? We ask that. But we don't just let Hashem take care of them. Right? We're not a people focused on that. And that's what he says. Eina nitzach, and that's what he says, the example that I quoted before. Right? Purim and Shushan Purim. The days of celebration are the days of rest, the days of menucha. Not the days of the celebration. And here too, by Kriyas Yam, relates to the same reason why we don't say Full Hallel on the last day of Pesach. Right? Ma'asei Yad Tovuim Bayam, Atam Omrim Shira. We don't say Full Hallel. Okay, that's the idea of Tatzach Hadash Ba'achav. Okay, then we have Dayenu. Dayenu. So Dayenu, we could spend, again, a couple of hours on Dayenu, going through every one. Right? We sing Dayenu sometimes, so we don't always focus. But if you have a chance before Pesach, just read through Dayenu. And stop after each one for 20 seconds. And think about what Hashem did for us. Each one is separate. Think about Kriyas Yamsuf. Think about Har Sinai. Think about the Mun. Think about Shabbos. Think about... I don't remember all of them. I'm getting mixed up. Oh, Melech HaBashan. No, that's the Hodel Hashem Kitov. But all of the Dayenus. Think about each one. So one of them is about Shabbos. So this thought you could say here, or one could say it at the beginning of the meal, or one could say this thought, this is a great, as what I like to call, back pocket Divrei Torah, it's about Shabbos and Yontif. The Rambam calls Yontif Shabsos Hashem. If you look in Parshas Emor, the laning for Yontif, source 26, Parshas Emor, we know, is the Parsha of the Moadim, right? You have Parshas of the Moadim in Emor, and in Pinchas, and in Re'eh. Different emphases in each one. But in Parshas Emor, the Torah starts off by saying, okay, here come the holidays, here come the Moadim, and then we have Shabbos. And then we have, okay, here come the Moadim, and then we have Pesach. It's as if the Torah recognized that, well, no, false alarm, false start, right? Shabbos, what's Shabbos doing here in the Moadim? So Shabbos is there, but it's not there. It's part, and it's a part in the Moadim. Rashi already notes that in Emor. Rashi notes, Ma'in in Shabbos is Samoados. What is Shabbos doing there? Lo lamedcha to teach me. Shekol machalel asamoados. Malan alav kilu chila shabbos. If we're machalel yantif, then it's kilu we're machalel Shabbos. And the opposite. There's a connection between the two. What's the connection? Says Rav Moshe, such a davar pashut. But it's so simple and yet so right on. Shabbos is Hashem as the borei. Right, this year is special because this year Shabbos and Yontif together. So we get to do both at once. Shabbos is Hashem as the borei. Yontif is Hashem as the mashgiach. The creator and the one that is continuously involved and in control. Shabbos is Hashem as the creator. Hashem created the world. It's all about Maisa Bracious. Yontif, what do we celebrate on Yontif? We don't celebrate Bria, we celebrate Hanhaga and Hashgacha. We celebrate Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and Anan Yaakovid, and Kabbalah Satorah. Everything that happens continuously. If I believe in one and not the other, says Rav Moshe, quoting a line from the Gemara, Davar v'lochatzi davar. Believing in half is believing in zero. If I believe that Hashem created the world, but I do not believe that He's the Mashgiach, then what was the purpose of creation? He created and then He left? What would be the purpose of that? At certain stages in Sefer Iyov, Iyov goes through different emunas that he's trying to work out difficulties, but towards the beginning of the Sefer, Iyov says to himself, I believe God is perfect and just, so if all these terrible things are happening to me, it must be He's the Borei, but He's not the Manhig. And He's not the Mashgiach. Because it would reflect an imperfection if He allowed these terrible things to happen to me. And again, there's a process in the Sefer. But if I believe in Borei and not Manig, what's the problem? And what about the other way? If I believe in Manig and not Borei, so who did create the world? He's in charge, but He didn't start the world? So says Rav Moshe, Shabbos and Yontif go together, you need both. You need Borei and you need Manhig. Hashem was the creator. Hashem is the one that's consistently in control. And on a day, Shabbos, on a Yontif like this year, where the first day is Shabbos and Yontif together, what an awesome, intense day. When we make Kiddush, it's Borei and Manhig. It's a little of both. Okay. What was that, Dayenu? Shabbos. Okay, then we have Pesach Matzah Maror. Pesach Matzah Maror. So we have Matzah. We have Matzah. Says Mordechai Eliyahu. In his Agada, source 27. It starts off on the left side, goes to the right side. How could they not have been ready? They were told for 210 years, and it's been a year. And I'll show you tonight, you're going, and tomorrow morning, you're going out and being ready. Why couldn't they have their matzahs ready? They had to rush out. They didn't have time to bake their matzahs. Like Hashem told them with a lot of warning. It's kind of like our children sometimes. I told you we're leaving. I gave you 14 warnings. It's not like, okay, we're leaving. Okay, I'll start packing. Like Bnei Yisrael knew. So what do you mean their matzah didn't rise? Right, Shalom, right, they didn't have the time. Shalom, Hispik, B'tzekeb, Shalom, Oseinu. So you might say, says Mordechai Elio, that, yes, maybe some of them didn't think it was actually going to happen. Maybe really a lack of emunah, or maybe not a lack of emunah, but just, maybe like, I can't believe it's really happening. After all these years. Even though after a year of makos, you would think that, you know, they knew what was going on. So maybe there was some chisaron there. But says Mordechai Elio, whatever it is, Hashem was dan l'kav zchus. Hashem viewed the positive in that event. Lechtech achar v'amidbar be'eretz lo zaruah. We went out without food. We went out without snacks. Hashem looked at it, no matter what our kavanas were, and whatever the reasons were, which might not make sense, but Hashem viewed it. Hashem viewed it as if, no, we did it for the right reasons. We did it for the right reasons. That's matzah. And then one of the psukim we quote in the Pesach Matzah Maror is the pasuk in Source 28. I think this is on the Pesach one. I don't remember. I don't have a God in front of me. Vayikoda am vayishtachavu. And they bow down, vayishtachavu. And Rashi quotes on Chumash, Vayikoda am al besoras ha-geula ubiyas ha-aretz ubesoras ha-banim sheyu lahem. Why did they bow down? What were we thankful for? That we were going out of Mitzrayim, we were going to Eretz Yisrael, we were going to have children, v'chulu. Says the Sam Derach of Simcha Broidi in his Agadah, this is an amazing Rashi. And with the levels that Bnei Yisrael reached at that time, Nifla l'misbonein, Godel malas Bnei Yisrael, v'akarasam v'atavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehem, what'd they reach? Teva and Nes. They were thankful for children. They were thankful for Kriyas Yamsuf. And they were thankful for Knisa La'aretz. All together. Because they realized it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, what does the Gemara say? Imsachim. Kriyas Yamsuf is like Parnasa. Because it's all connected. When we realize it's all from Hashem, gam hativi v'hapashut, lo shona me'amufle v'adistar. Everything in life is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to recognize we're tali. Remember we mentioned before, gadol and katan. A katan is dependent, gadol is independent. We are ketanim. We have to recognize. We are all ketanim in life. We have to be gadol in certain areas. Zakat and Gadol Yiyah. But we also have to recognize that we are all dependent. Right? If God fills out a tax return, there are a lot of dependents on that one. But I would say you're a dependent if we recognize that we are a dependent. So we have to make sure. We recognize that everything, we reach the level, and that's what we have to feel at the end of the Seder. We recognize that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything, the teva and the nes is all from him. And then we get into the lefichach. Lefichach anachra chayavim lehodo. So we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brought us from one of the stages, miyagon lesimcha. From agony to happiness. Miyagon lesimcha. Says Rav Pinkus. Again, a thought that we have to take with us, even outside of Pesach. If I were to ask you, is it natural to be happy? Is it natural to be happy? Well, I ask you this. If you see somebody walking down the street, and they're like this, and you see your good friend, and they're like this, you would say to them, hi, what's going on? Instead of saying, oh, you are in the natural state that we're supposed to be in. And I'm the one that's not. Says Rav Pinkus, simcha is the natural state. You know how I know? Because the malachim say shira all day. and the malachim aren't bound by a guf and by external factors and headaches of finitude being on earth. That's natural. It's natural to be in a state of simcha. Is it easy? It's not easy. But we have so many layers. So many layers of so many things that pile on. And Rachmana Litzlan, they're serious layers. Rachmana Litzlan, there are many that have very, very difficult lives and very, very difficult situations in many different areas. It's not simple. But we have to believe that when we uncover all those layers, the natural state of a Jew, of a human even, but of a Jew, is simcha, because we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of all life. It's an avoda, ivdu. Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha. HaSimcha eina achaz mipulos ha-nefesh o-mikra ha-korebo. Simcha is something that happens to you. Elohi etzem tchunas ha-nefesh, betiba. That's the natural state, k'she'ein ba ma-she-yafel aleha. When there's nothing that is causing me worry. We're always worried. Right, if somebody has $1 billion, they're nervous that they might lose $1 billion. Or there, how am I going to get my second $1 billion? Right? There's never anybody who's totally, but we have to do our best. Zula Shira. Shira and Simcha, that's a malach. And the neshama of a person. The neshama of a person is like a malach. Right? The neshama of a person, where in Brachas talks about that. And therefore he says we have to recognize. We have to try to just uncover our natural state. Uncover, peel off the layers that prevent that reality. Okay, so then we get to Lefichach and Hallel and the eggs and Pesach Matzah Mar, the mitzvahs, and then we start our meal. Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch. Says Rabbi Lau, former chief rabbi, Yisrael Meir. Yisrael Meir Lau in his Agada. We have a Sunnis Mitzvah. Says Rabbi Lau, in all other religions, they could understand the word Seuda, and they could understand the word Mitzvah, but it's very hard to understand Seudas Mitzvah. But that's what we do. And if there's any Seudas Mitzvah in the year, there's no greater Seudas Mitzvah than the one that's surrounded by Hallel. And the one that we have late at night surrounded with our family. That's the goal of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim, right? Va'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Build me a physical home and I'm going to come. Because that's my goal. That's why I created the world. Hashem didn't create the world for angels. Hashem didn't have to create the world for angels. He also didn't have to create the world for animals. The animals don't need most of stuff that's on earth. They don't need flowers that are colorful or food that tastes good. They don't need most things in life. Why did Hashem create the world? For us, for human beings. That's why He created the world. And the purpose of a human being is to sanctify the physical. To have a su'uda, but make it into a mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shulchan Aruch in one place. I didn't bring it. He goes to the Shulchan Aruch, he says, if everything we eat in life is L'shem Shemayim, to keep us healthy, to help us serve Hashem, then every single thing we eat is a Seudas Mitzvah. And that's what it should be. That's what it should be. A lot of the time we're just eating for ourselves, not eating for Hashem. But really this, the concept of Seudas Mitzvah, that's something uniquely Jewish, says Rabbi Lau. Ba'ama Yehudi yish musag she'en lo ach v'reya Seudas Mitzvah ha'olam alo Yehudi makra se musag Seuda makra gama se musag Mitzvah. That is something unique and something that only we have. So we have a beautiful Seuda, and then we have the Afikomen, and then we bench. And in benching we say, Harachaman hu yanchilenu yom shekulo tov, a day that is perfectly good. And we add on a whole extra phrase of that in the Seder, Tzadikim Yoshvim Vatrosim Barashayim. Rabbi Lam, in his Haggadah, Yom Shekulo Tov. This relates to what Rabbi Sachs said at the beginning of our shiur tonight. There's nothing in this world that is perfectly good. There's no person, there's no day. a day without a headache? Has anybody ever made a simcha without a headache? There's always something. Right? When that happens, we have to say, Yotze ol mazeh. Harachamoni anchilenu yom shekulo tov. We daven for a time, no matter how good Yontif is, no matter how great a day could be, we daven for the day that Yom Shekulo Tov, a reality that we really can't really fathom. Yom Tov is a good day, but it's not Yom Shekulo Tov. Right? We learn for the day that in Chutz La'aretz we'll say, not just good Yontif, good Yom Kulo Tov. I don't know if Chag Sameach will change. But in contemporary times or any pre-Messianic time, is it really rational to expect a period that is completely and perfectly good, sacred without blemish, endless bliss with no taint of pain or frustration? Of course not. Right? No extremes, as Rabbi Lamb always says. Right? So we pray for and hope and expect that someday in a world far different from this one, the Lord himself will reign in perfect goodness. We express hopes, unrealistically and naively perhaps, but beautifully, that a day will come when a very good day, Yom Tov, will become Kulo Tov, a holy day of genuine light, unmixed goodness and joy. And then we have Hallel, and then we drink the fourth cup, and then we say, in Al HaGefen V'Al Pri HaGefen. So we have one thought on benching, and then we have another thought on Al HaGefen. We say in Al HaGefen, V'Haleinu L'socha V'Samchenu B'Vinyana. Hashem, please bring us up to it, to Eretz Yisrael, and make us happy in its binyan. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. It's in the Arzi Levon and Haggadah, but it's from the Sichas Musar. Sheish Ketzer Amitz. We mentioned this in a Parsha Shir about 10 years ago. There's a strong connection between these two phrases, V'haleinu l'socha and V'samcheinu b'vinyana. Going up and being happy with its rebuilding needs to go together. Misheino makir ba'osher shebebinyan Eretz Yisrael chaser hu bekniyas ma'alasa ve'erech ruch niyusa. Somebody doesn't recognize the rebuilding of the lands, then they are not connected to the lands. And Rechai Shmulevitz says, somebody could be in Eretz Yisrael, but if they don't recognize the unique quality and the special nature of the land, then they're not connected to the land. And they're not married to the land. And somebody can be outside of Eretz Yisrael, but if they recognize that they are in a strange land and they are deeply connected to the lands, that's different. I'll just end with a thought. I think I mentioned in the past, the guy who says this, the first daf in Maseches Kedushin, the makor for Kiddushei Kesef, Kinyan Kesef, getting married with money, is Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, is learned out from Avram Avinu buying the grave of Machpelah, buying the cave of Machpelah. The question is, what is the connection? We're comparing getting married to by doing a business transaction, right? So getting married is like buying a piece of property? No. It's the opposite. Our connection to Eretz Yisrael is like a marriage. Because we're connected, and as we spoke about on Shabbos, right? The Ramban writes, "Artseinu eino makabelas es oyveinu." The special connection, and that's the kavana. Whenever we say "alamichya," "v'haleinu l'socha," not just physically, "v'samcheinu b'vinyana," help us have the simcha, help us have the connection. So we start off the seder, "L'shana baba arad Yisrael." We end off towards the end, "v'samcheinu b'vinyana," "v'samcheinu b'vinyana." Yehi ratzon that Be'ez Hashem, we still have a few days. We still have a few that Kadosh Baruch Hu can still work it out. That all Jews, all of us, should be in Eretz Yisrael, should be in Yerushalayim. We should figure out a different nusach to Halach Manya. Right? We should have to figure out exactly what to do. Be'ez Hashem, we daven every year, but this year as well, after all the darkness of the past couple of years, Hashem should give us light, Hashem should give us bracha, Hashem should give us tremendous geula v'yeshua b'mehera v'yameinu. Again, the next year will